The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Receiving your inheritance is what we want to talk about this morning. And I'm going to focus on Caleb. The really interesting thing is that the study that I have done with Caleb and Joshua, when you go back in history, you find out that Caleb's father was a Kenizzite, and Kenizzites were Gentiles. So the history of Caleb becoming his father and his descendants actually came in and became proselyte Jews. And they accepted the Jewish culture and they accepted the Jewish way. They accepted the things of God. This Joshua and Caleb, as you read the story about them, they are a type and example of the Jewish church and the Gentile church. One new man becoming powerful in the kingdom of God because of their agreement, because of their faith. Together, one was a Gentile, come from a Gentile seed, one from a Jewish seed, and they had agreement with each other, and their agreement was powerful. The only two out of the 12 spies that lasted, that believed, that trusted God, and we're going to talk some about that this morning. They spent 45 years wandering in the wilderness with the rest of the children of Israel, and the rest of their generation died off in that 45-year period. They were the only two left. And by our standards, they were old men. But the scripture says, Joshua and Caleb both said, we're as strong as we ever were. We're as powerful in battle as we ever were. God is with us. And we are well able to go in and take the land. Are you well able to go in and take the land today? That's my question to you. I believe each and every one of us has been empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to go in and take the land, whatever that means in your life, to be able to go forth, to continue, to hold fast. And yes, the truth is, sometimes you might have to wait for a while. Yes. We're going to talk about waiting. You have to wait. But that doesn't mean God's arm is short. That doesn't mean that he has forgotten. Sometimes that waiting period is a time for us to grow, mature, and be ready. You know, we get, you know, waiting and waiting and waiting sometimes just makes you anxious to go in. Makes you more battle-hardened and ready to go. Okay. We're going to talk a little bit about those things this morning. The topic of my message is receiving your inheritance. How many want your inheritance? Glory. God has an inheritance for his people. In Psalms chapter 37, verse 18 and 19, it says this, the Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. You have a forever inheritance. No one and nothing can take away from you. Wow. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I'm going to say that again. You have an inheritance that no one and nothing can take away from you. Boy, I want it to sink in. I want it to sink in because the enemy is trying to convince you that he is able to take your inheritance. He's trying to convince you that he is able to divide you from the inheritance that God has promised you. He's trying to convince you that because of your failure in the past, that you are unable to receive the inheritance that Almighty God has called you to. And that's a lie. The enemy is nothing but a liar and a thief. And he's trying to steal from you. He's lying to you so he can steal from you. If you believe the lie, he will be able to steal from you. But if you do, if you believe God, you believe that that land that he has promised you, that promised land is full of milk and honey and wonderful produce, in spite of the fact that there are giants in that land, in spite of the fact that there are fortified cities in that land, in spite of the fact that you have a raging river that you might have to cross to get there. Amen. In spite of that, the promises are for you. And they're available. Your inheritance. It is your inheritance. I love this scripture. It goes on to say this. This is so good. Listen to what it says. And they shall not be ashamed in the evil time. How many know we're living in some evil times? Amen. It's an evil time. But you're not going to be ashamed. You will not be ashamed. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. There is famine in the land as well. It's a spiritual famine. You know, there are actually droughts and famines all over the place. California is in a huge drought right now. And it's going to affect and continue to affect our food supply. Be aware of that. You know, try to get a little bit of food and stock up a little bit, because right now you might be able to purchase stuff at a lot cheaper rate than you will in the near future. Because there, unless something happens, there is a huge drought going on in California and in other parts of our nation. Some parts of our nation are in drought. Some parts are getting too much rain, which is just as devastating to crops. All right, now, I'm not saying that to scare anybody. I want you to understand what the Word says. That in the days of famine, you will be satisfied. You're the upright. The upright is just another way of saying righteous in the sight of God. You will be satisfied. That's why it's so important that we keep our relationship with the Lord intact. That's why we must draw closer and closer to him. The drier it gets out there, the more satisfied we become in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. That's our satisfaction. And he's going to take care of us. Chapter 54, verse 17. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you, you shall condemn. Now, when it says condemn, it doesn't mean that you're going to run around and cast curses on people just because they rise up against you. What it's saying is that due to your lifestyle, they will be ashamed of what they've said about you because you will prove them wrong.
Yes. I love it. Oh. Thank you, Lord.
Now, that puts a lot of burden on us, doesn't it? That we have to live the lifestyle. We have to walk the walk. Not just talk the talk, but walk the walk in the name of Jesus Christ. Recognize that he has called us to a set aside life. That he has called us to be different and to walk according to the will, his will, according to his word. And the only way you're going to know his will is to know his word. So that's why I do my very best on Sunday mornings to share his word with you. And I want you to we have other things. We have life groups that you can be involved with. Small groups. In those small groups, we study his word in more in depth. We have these classes that I'm talking about that you can learn and grow in and become stronger in the Lord, have a good solid foundation. These things will cause you to walk in the ways of the Lord. And if you're walking in the ways of the Lord, according to the scripture that we just heard, in the days of famine, you will be satisfied. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Their righteousness. Now, what it's saying there is that their righteous acts. God is saying, they will do acts that are right in my sight. We will. His people. He has promised us no weapon. Get a hold of this. No weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon. I want you to understand something. We battle against a powerful enemy, and unless you war against him in the Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be defeated. But if you do it according to the will of the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, you cannot be defeated.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
We have a greater God. He's much greater than that enemy, the God of this world, the satanic forces of hell. Hallelujah. All right. If believers are going to receive their spiritual inheritance, I believe there's some things that we got to do. So I'm going to start this morning. The first thing that we're going to look at is trust. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. You've probably all read this in the past. It's always a good one about the spies being sent into the land. Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all them men who were heads of the children of Israel. And then it goes on to tell the tribes that they came from. Here is what I want you to understand. Every one of these men were leaders. Now, John Maxwell says that leadership is influence. Nothing less and nothing more. So, as believers in Jesus Christ, each one of us has a responsibility to influence other people. So, in that sense, we are all leaders in our own right. We're supposed to be leading people into the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be establishing truth into people's lives, being salt and light so that people can see and understand what the kingdom of God is all about. Establishing the kingdom so that other people can want, you know, they should have a desire. When they see you walking in the kingdom, they should have a desire to know more about the kingdom. This kingdom life, Jesus said, "I've come to give you a life and life more abundantly." More than enough. In your life. What does that mean? It means abundance in every area of your life. I don't care, you know, financially, that's wonderful. But there are some things that are a lot more important than financial blessings. Now, you've got to have, every one of us have to walk out our finances. And you need to learn to handle your finances according to the word of God. Be a good manager. But listen to me, you can be the wealthiest person on the face of the earth, if I can spit it out this morning, and have your family falling apart, and you're not living an abundant life. You can be you can have all the money you need, be a drug addict. You know, I don't follow this Justin Bieber, but my goodness, one of the things that I've heard about this guy, he's got everything he'd ever want. And look what he's doing to himself. And he's not the only one. And I'm not just picking on him. He's lost. He's without the truth. But the reality is, the abundant life means that you have a lifestyle that is well-rounded. You have a good family life. You handle your finances properly. You understand what it means to be a good employee or a good employer, whatever the situation is. You understand the responsibilities that you have, and you carry those responsibilities like a son or daughter of the Most High God. And other people can look to you and say, "There's something different about that person." Yeah. Amen? Okay. In Exodus chapter 18, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, watches Moses. He's judging the people. And all the people come to him. Now, listen, you got to understand, there were millions. They think there was about 6 million people. With 6 million people, I can't even imagine the problems that he had to deal with on a daily basis. My goodness. I don't even want to judge this group of people every day and judge your problems, let alone 6 million people. And Moses was setting up as judge every day, and these people were coming to him. And his father-in-law, Jethro, saw this. He watched him, and he saw what was happening. He went to Moses, and he said, "Are you crazy? This is going to kill you. It's going to kill you, and it's going to kill the people. You've got to stop doing this." So he gave him some good Holy Spirit advice. He said, "I want you to choose godly men, men of truth, men that do not covet, and I want you to put them over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens." He was showing a model of leadership that is supposed to be a part of the body of Christ. And when we have that model of leadership intact in the body of Christ, we see a church that will flourish and grow because the authority and the responsibility is delegated properly. Amen. Amen. But then, you know, you got to understand something. You've got to trust those people. Trust is so important with what we're talking about here. Trust. Not only trusting God, got to trust the leaders, and we got to trust one another. Right. Trust. Trust is just another way of saying faith, having faith in God, having faith in leadership, having faith in each other, trusting each other. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 13. Just go, we're already there. Just going over. Verse 26. This is after they went into the land. "Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron, all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit.'" Let me stop right there. Verse 27. "They went in and they saw the wonderful fruit of the land." Every one of them, all 12, saw the same thing. They saw how the land flourished. They saw what God had promised them, that there was fruit in this land, that there was abundance in this land, and it could be all theirs. Keep that in mind. They saw it. They focused on it. "Nevertheless," this is something else they saw, "the people who dwelt in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak were there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb, our man Caleb, quieted the people before Moses. Because listen, here's what happened. First of all, 10 of them said, "Listen, there is a wonderful fruit in this land. However, there's giants there. And they have fortified cities." Now, Anak, here's it very important that we understand. Anak was the mightiest man of his tribe, and he was a giant. He came from the Riphim. The Riphim actually means giant. And there were giants. You see this picture? You see that? Have you anybody ever seen skeletons like that? Do they have that displayed any place, any museum? What's the National Museum, the Smithsonian? Yeah. You see anything like that in the Smithsonian? Let me tell you why you don't see anything like that in the Smithsonian. Because every time something like that is found, they rush in, they take the skeletons, and they hide them away. Because it does not line up with their belief system of evolution. How do you explain giants like that when you're teaching people, the masses of people, that everybody has come from the ooze of the ground, turned into an ape, a small creature, and is now becoming godlike? Because that's what they're teaching in evolution. That we're evolving into godlike creatures. We're getting bigger, we're getting stronger, we're getting more powerful, and a giant like that does not fit into their paradigm. So they rush in, they gather them up, and they hide them away. These things have been found all over the world, as close to us as Newark, Ohio. There's a mound there, and they've been found there. But what happened to them? What happened to the skeletons? They took them away. They hide them away, and they don't talk about it. I'd say 90% of the population around Newark has no idea that they're living close to giants, or used to be giants. And there's lots of theories about where they came from, and I'm not going to go into that this morning. I can tell you I believe that they actually originated from Canaan, the land of Canaan, and fled there. But they have the same belief system. They have the same sacrificial systems. They have the same worship system. They build mounds to bury their dead in. They build all kinds of things that are absolutely the same all over the world. They're real. They're part of history. And there's no explanation for them from the position of evolution. But there is an explanation for them from the Bible. The Riphim. And the Riphim came from, now let me show you this. This is so important because I want you to know the reason, well, I'll just hold off on that. I won't say that right now. Let's see. Go. I'm going to ask, maybe I've got this scripture. Genesis 6:4, is that part of the scriptures that I have, Kathy? Genesis 6:4. Don't have that one? Okay, I'm going to ask everyone to turn there. Genesis 6:4. Here's what it says. This was before the flood. And this is what it says. There were giants on the earth in those days. Also afterward. Now, not only during a flood, but those giants were on the earth after the flood. Someday I'll go into this and I'll explain where these, most likely where these giants came from. But right now we can get a foretaste of what I'm talking about. There were giants on the earth in those days. That word right there that has been translated giants is Nephilim. It really doesn't mean giants, although it turns out they are giants. It means fallen ones. That's what it means, fallen ones. Giants, they were fallen ones on the earth in those days, and also afterwards when the sons of God, or the sons of Elohim, of God, came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Now, what I'm trying to point out to you this morning is that there's no doubt. Historically, the Jews have always believed, the Jewish scholars have always believed that this scripture is talking about fallen angels that came to earth. I don't understand all that. I don't see how it happened, but somehow they were able to come to earth, transform themselves into bodies like ours, and have a relationship with women. And because of that, there were men of renown. Now, the reason that I'm saying this morning is that I want you to understand these giants that they saw in the land were real giants. They were not just 6'6" men. They were huge giants. There are reports of 18 to 20 foot tall giants. Real giants. And here's what it says. They were men of renown. They were known for their incredible ability. These were not giant Neanderthal men who were so stupid that they couldn't carry a club and walk at the same time. These were mighty warriors that could destroy thousands of men at a time. That's why they were afraid. You got to get this in your mind. You got to understand that there was real fear going on here. There was a reason for them to fear. And yet, Joshua and Caleb, in particular Caleb, because that's the one we're focusing on this morning, trusted God. He said, wait a minute. I don't care how big these giants are. I don't care what kind of skill they have. They're nothing compared to our God. Trust. You got to trust. We got to trust each other. You got to trust me. I've got to trust you. You've got to trust the leadership. Listen, if you don't trust me as your pastor, you're going to have issues in this church. There will be issues in this church because I want to tell you something. When things happen in people's lives and it's not appropriate for me to talk about it and I have to deal with it, I'll say nothing to anybody. Because it's not right to spread things around. And it doesn't matter what it makes me look like. What it matters is what it makes the kingdom of God look like. And how whether people are hurt or not. And I can tell you this, there are going to be times in the future when I have to make hard decisions, the leaders have to make hard decisions, and you're not going to understand it. And if you don't understand it and you don't trust me and you don't trust our leaders, you'll probably book. You'll probably tuck your tail and leave because Pastor Rob did this or did that and you didn't understand. You got to trust me. I'm not going to hurt anybody on purpose. Promise that. But you might get hurt. You know, I can't promise you won't get hurt. You know. But I love you, and I'm here because I'm called by God to be here.
Amen. Amen.
That's the only reason. That's the only reason that I'm here. It's because I want to serve God and do His will. I can tell you one thing. I'm not getting rich. I'm being taken care of. Praise God. All my needs are being met. Praise the Lord. And it's a great life. I love my life. I love my family. I love my church. I love what God has called me to. But it goes far beyond any monetary things. It goes into the kingdom of God and doing God's will. You know, my great reward is going to be in the future. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. But you know what? I'm not ready to hear that yet. That means I'm dead. I'm not quite ready for that. Not until God's ready. But when He is, I want to be faithful to the end. That's what Revelation says. So we've got to be faithful to the end. So trust is the first thing. Trust. Trust God above everything else. Trust the leaders that God put in. Caleb trusted God. He trusted Moses. And he trusted Joshua, who was another godly man, that he could put his trust in these people. And that's what we have to do. We have to trust God. You have to trust the leaders. You have to trust your fellow believers in Jesus Christ. Amen. And that takes relationship. Second thing is, do not fear. Numbers 14, 1 through 9. Next chapter over. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua and the son of Nun and Caleb, the son of Nephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, here, that's very important. If the Lord delights in us, how does the Lord delight in you? He delights in you when you put your faith and trust in Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are the bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Do not fear them. Fear is a natural response. All animals and humans have the response of fear. When we're threatened, we become fearful. We fear, and it triggers one of two responses, flight or fight. Amen. 12 of them wanted to flee. Stay out of that land. Don't go there. Two of them, because they put their faith in God, wanted to fight. God is looking for a remnant of people who are willing to stand and fight. We must fight. Listen. To conquer, to accomplish, to take the kingdom of God wherever God wants us to go with the kingdom. That means we got to be willing to do some warfare. And warfare, it comes at a price. It's tough. You got to be battle hardened. You got to prepare yourself. You got to get on your knees before Almighty God. Get your life right. Do some prayer and fasting. Church, we're weak. The Church of Jesus Christ is weak. We're weak because we've got it so easy. Everywhere we look, it's soft. We have soft pews. We have air conditioning. We have a nice building. Praise God for those things, but it makes us soft. Everywhere we look, we see soft believers. It's not very uplifting, is it? When your pastor says, you're just soft. I'm just talking about the body of Christ. In overall, I believe we have a great body here that are, you know, we're striving, we're desiring, we want to get closer to the Lord. But I got to tell you something, we've got to deny our flesh. We've got to do some prayer and fasting. We've got to get ourselves ready for this upcoming battle. It's getting fierce and more fierce as we go on. It's becoming very difficult. And we have to stand, and you will not be able to stand if you're soft. Got to be prepared. All right. Fear will paralyze. Fear will stop. Experiencing fear is not the problem. You know, courage is not the lack of fear in your life. Everybody knows that, right? You know, if you're a courageous person, it doesn't mean that you are not afraid. It means that you are willing to act in spite of the fear that the enemy tries to put on you. It means that you're going to trust God no matter what's stirring in your stomach, those butterflies that come, those things that that stir up inside of you that the enemy is trying to use because of experiences that we've had in the past, the failures and the difficulties that we have. They stir physical emotions. When you think about a failure that you've had and you feel like you're being placed in that situation again, you have physical emotions that are stirred inside of you. And if we're not careful, those physical emotions and those chemicals that are released inside of us can become very harmful. That's why we've got to overcome them. Steps of faith, moving forward. Glory. Being willing to trust God first. Amen. And being willing to act regardless of our fear. I believe it was 1995 when God called me to pastor. Just a little bit before that. I think I started in 95. The last thing I ever wanted to do was stand in front of people and say anything, let alone preach and teach the Word of God. There was a fear of public speaking. Now, how many can identify with that? I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, absolutely. Fear, it's a fear of public speaking. And some people have it. Some people, you know, they don't have that issue. But I had it. Now, I say I had it because I took action. And it wasn't easy to take that action and move forward. There was lots at many, many times. And I got to tell you, there are still times that probably just about every time I get up in front of people, there's still some butterflies there. You know, it just stirs up inside of me. But the action defeats the fear. And that's what God wants us to understand, that if the enemy is trying to put a fear upon you, it's because he's trying to paralyze you. He's trying to stop you. He's trying to keep you from taking action.
That's right.
And if you will take action, just like Caleb said, listen, we are well able. Let's go. Pick up. Let's take our ability. Let's take our weapons. Let's go out because God is with us. I want you to know that God is with you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. When you stop leaning on your own understanding and you trust God, you will overcome fear. The last thing I want to talk about this morning. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Turn to Joshua 14. Joshua chapter 14. Somebody's getting something out of this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 14, chapter 14, verse 6 is where we're going to start. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Nephunel, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in the day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron to Caleb, the son of Nephunah, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Nephunah, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. Joshua was promised 45 years earlier an inheritance, and he had to wait. How many have ever had to wait for something from the Lord? Amen. It's not easy, is it? Have you ever had to wait 45 years? I don't think I have. Well, I don't know. Maybe God spoke to me many years ago about some things that I'm just now seeing fulfilled, starting to happen. But I can tell you this, God always expects his people to wait on him. We have to wait. One of the things that happened with the children of Israel, and so when they went in to spy out the land and Moses said no, or they said no, we won't go. Moses said, okay, then you're all going to die in the wilderness. All of you except Joshua and Caleb. Well, when he said that to them, they went away that night, and the next day they got up and they had a change of heart. And they said to themselves and they said to Moses, we now believe God wants us to go in and take the land. And Moses said, you've missed it. It's too late. You can't do this. If you go up against these people, you will be destroyed. And that's exactly what happened. They took their arms. They took their conviction that this is what God wanted them to do. And many of them died at the hands of the giants. Because they, first of all, they didn't want to go when God said go, and then they tried to go when God said don't go. That's how important it is for us to hear the Spirit of God speak to us and respond to his Spirit. If he says go, go. If he says wait, wait. And I want you to understand something. God is speaking to his people. I know that the people out there will say, you mean God speaks to you? Are you crazy? No, you'd be, as a Christian, you'd be crazy if God didn't speak to you. He has promised that he has put his Spirit inside of you, and he's promised that he's going to direct you every step of the way. He's going to speak into your life. He's going to tell you to go right and left. He's going to tell you how to live your life because he loves you, and he wants to keep you on that straight and narrow. He wants you to have that abundant life Jesus promised. And when you get outside of his will and you move into the direction that the enemy is trying to get you to move into, that gives him the ability to destroy your life. You don't want that. None of us do. That's why we want to stay with the Lord. Stay intact. Stay faithful. Serve him. Hear what he has to say. God's timing is everything. Don't hesitate when you hear the voice of the Lord. And obey when he says, don't go. You'll hear his voice. Now, I understand that as a believer in Christ, when you first get saved and you start hearing these things that God's going to speak to you, you have to begin to learn to discern the voice of the Lord. But I can tell you this, God's never going to tell you to do something that's outside of his will and his word. He's not going to tell you to do something that will be harmful to you or to anyone else. God always speaks good things into people's lives and gives you direction for good things. That's one of the ways you can tell it's God speaking and not the enemy. But he will protect you. Kingdom success for this church, for you individually, for our nation, is dependent on God and His timing. I believe that. I want to be in God's timing. I believe we are in a time right now with Bethel Worship Center that we have an opportunity to grasp the things of God and move forward in an area and a way that will shake this area. Amen. In Jesus' name. That will move people closer to the kingdom of God and stir their hearts to have a desire for the things of God. Stand with me. But we got to wait on God. We got to trust our God. We got to hear His voice. Amen. Pastor was out with his family one day. They were in a lake cabin, and he was messing around with doing something, preparing or fixing something, and he had a 12-year-old son and a 3-year-old son, and he told the 12-year-old son to watch the 3-year-old son. That's a mistake, fathers. Well, while they were playing, they were on the dock playing around, and the 12-year-old got a little distracted, and the 3-year-old decided that he wanted to go for a boat ride in the aluminum boat. And he stepped off the dock to step into the boat, and guess what happened? Poosh, he went down about 10 feet of water. 12-year-old screamed because he didn't know what to do, and the father came running. He told him that Billy was in the water. Father dove in the water, and the water was murky. He couldn't see anything. He came back up, and he didn't have Billy. So he took a big breath and went back down, and he was searching frantically for Billy. He couldn't find Billy. Billy wasn't there, and as he started back up, he was coming up the pole on the dock, and as he was coming up the pole, there was Billy clinging to the pole of the dock, and he grabbed his arms, and he pulled his arms off, and they both came to the surface, and of course they were gasping for air at that time, and they came up for life-giving air, and they got on the dock, and finally, when they had rested a little bit, the dad said to Billy, "Billy, what in the world were you doing clinging to that pole underwater?" And Billy said, "I was just waiting on you, Dad, just waiting on you." That's what we're waiting on. It's our Father. I don't care how far underwater we are. If we will wait on Him, He will provide. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for an awesome service today, speaking into people's lives, stirring us and helping us. Lord, our desire is to grow closer to You and to be about Your will. Lord, I want every person in here to receive their inheritance in You, to walk in it, to be fulfilled in their life, to be lifted up and encouraged, to know that You are an awesome and mighty God, and Your desire is for them to walk in that abundance that Jesus promised us. Lord, help us to hear. Help us to respond. Help us to trust. Help us to trust and wait on You when it's necessary. Help us to overcome fear with action. Desire, Father, help us all to desire Your will in our lives. And we just praise You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you'd like to have prayer for healing, please come up forward. The elders will pray with you. Like to have our prayer warriors to come up. If you'd like to hear a word from the Lord or you need special prayer, prayer warriors are here to do that for you. Have a wonderful day. Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.